It is 2:36 in the Mike McFeely Show on this Wednesday afternoon on the mighty 790 KFGO. Need to read this text message before we get to Dave St. Peter, president of the Minnesota Twins. The text message refers to my open to the show today, talking about how dogs always are walking through doors with anticipation and that we should do the same thing. Very out of character for me. Very positive for a very negative guy. Text message comes in and says, Mike, Freud said the Irish are the only people impervious to psychoanalysis. Pinto, you might want to start documenting these deep Mike thoughts for a book or for a trained professional's opinion. Write that one down, Pinto. 2:10, January 8th, Mike being philosophical about walking through open doors. We'll have to give that to a pro later on. Let's go now to a gentleman who is very positive. He's not a negative guy like me. He's very positive. He is the president of the Minnesota Twins. His name is Dave St. Peter, and he's here to talk to us about a couple of different things, not the least of which is the Twins Winter Caravan coming up in Fargo on January 20th. Mr. St. Peter, Happy New Year to you. How you doing?
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay. Just trying to stay warm like everybody else.
Yeah, it's a balmy five below today in Fargo, huh?
It's going to be 20-something by the weekend, so we'll be fine. We've been through it before.
Yeah, we've been there before, haven't we?
We'll be there again, I guarantee it.
Exactly.
Before we get to the winter caravan, I do want to get your thoughts on Jack Morris, a former Twin, one-year great, hero of the 1991 World Series, or one of the heroes of the 1991 World Series, not making the Hall of Fame. He was not elected to the Hall of Fame today in his 15th year of eligibility. Frank Thomas of the White Sox, Tom Glavin, Greg Maddux were elected. Jack Morris was not. Your thoughts on that, Dave?
Well, I can't say it's a huge surprise. There seemed to be, frankly, a lot of momentum against Jack, driven by, ironically, some of the same sabermetricians that probably played a huge role in getting Burt Blyleven into the Hall of Fame. Some of those same guys used some of those same statistics and a focus on ERA and other things to really dissuade voters about voting for Jack. So, yeah, his vote total actually went down a little bit. And, I suspect Jack is going to find his way to Cooperstown through the Veterans Committee process. So, unfortunately, you have to wait at least 3 years to be considered there. So there are other avenues, but it's disappointing. And I think when you think about it, at least my opinion, and obviously I'm probably biased, but when you watch what Jack meant in terms of really being the most dominant pitcher of his era, I think he started like 14 or 15 consecutive opening days and was part of, a lot of really, really good baseball teams where he was the frontline starter. I think there's no doubt he's deserving of a spot there, but he's going to have to wait a little bit longer to see if he can get there through the veterans process.
And that's why, I understand statistics and numbers play a role in sports. I mean, you can't deny that a career 300 hitter is a good hitter no matter what else goes on in his life, and you can't deny that somebody who wins 250 games is a great pitcher. But there are so many more things that go into sports than just numbers and just statistics, and I don't care how many games Jack Morris won in his career. I don't care that his career ERA was 3.90. I don't care about any of those things. He's one of those guys, like a Kirby Puckett, by the way, who brought so many more things to the table than just strictly numbers, that if you just go by the saber metrics, whatever that crap is they call it these days, you miss out on so much more,
yeah.
Dave, by doing
yeah.
that.
Well, they talk about guys being a horse, so to speak. And Jack was he was a guy that brought a lot to a ball club, because he saved you could empty the bullpen the day before he pitched, and you knew you could empty the bullpen the day after he pitched because he was probably going to go 8 or 9 innings, no doubt. And when you look at his complete games and what he meant to a club, there's no doubt in my mind that he was a beloved player to play with in that respect, in terms of respected. And, of course, think of some of the managers he played for. Obviously, Tom Kelly with 2 world championships, and Tito Gaston with a couple world championships in Toronto. Of course, Sparky Anderson. Those are pretty smart managers, and I think they all, Tom Kelly said as much today, certainly believe about Jack's deserving to be in that Hall of Fame because they know what he brought between the lines.
I'll let this go after this comment, but if for no other reason Game 7 of 1991, he should be in the World Series. He should be in the Hall of Fame, rather. I mean, unbelievable Game 7 performance. Yeah.
Again, I'm probably biased. I agree with you. One, you know, single greatest pitching performance probably in baseball history. And, thankfully it happened in a Twins uniform. And again, I give Jack credit. He's handled this whole process with a lot of class. He understands that his legacy is secure, whether he's in the Hall of Fame or not. But I know deep down he'd like to be there. And I'm hopeful that 3 years from now, the Veterans Committee will see fit to get him there.
Okay, Dave St. Peter, president of the Minnesota Twins, our guest in the Mike McFeely Show this afternoon. The reason I asked David on was to talk about the Twins Winter Caravan, because it's coming up in less than 2 weeks. It is January 20th at the venue at the Hub, brought to you in part by Neerson's, The Big Lot, the Ball Yard Training Center, and Don's Car Washes. The guests of honor are going to be Trevor Plouffe, Anthony Swarzak, Terry Steinbach, and Baseball Hall of Famer Burt Blyleven. And I think, David, you're going to be heading up this way, too, because you normally come on the North Dakota swing. Tell us about the Twins Winter Caravan. This is one of those great things that the Twins do that were really pioneers in doing these types of things, that you're getting your players and your people out to smaller communities around Minneapolis-St. Paul.
Well, I appreciate that. It's one of the traditions of this franchise. It's certainly the longest-running caravan of its type in sports. And we're excited to be coming to Fargo. Obviously, KFGO has always played a huge role in that. But, we're excited to always have a couple current players. And Anthony Swarzak, who was a huge part of a very successful bullpen last year, and we're counting on him to step up in even a bigger way in 2014. And, of course, Trevor Plouffe, who, 2 years ago showed a tremendous amount of power, and we're counting on him to rebound and hopefully be the type of player that we think he's capable of being. And anytime you throw in the likes of Mr. Blyleven, you have no idea what might transpire over the course of the night. But we're excited to come to Fargo. Fargo each and every year is probably one of our more significant winter caravan stops. The support we get in the Red River Valley is off the charts good, and it's already been a tough winter. So this is a great reminder that spring is near. And when we're out in Fargo on the 20th, we invite people to come out, bring the kids, great chance to get photos, get autographs, cheap ticket, a chance to talk some baseball. Should be a fun night.
Yeah, tickets are only $8. You can pick them up here at KFGO at 1020 25th Street South, or you can go online now at KFGO.com and get them there. Last 3 years, Dave, have been tough for the Twins in the win and loss department. 90-plus losses the last 3 years. But as I'm making my way around Fargo-Moorhead and around our region the last couple of weeks, there is more optimism in the air because of some signings that you guys did already in the offseason. Ricky Nolasco, number one. Phil Hughes, number two. Different type of signings for pitchers than you guys have had in the past couple of years.
Yeah, no mistake. We'd rather develop our own pitching. We're trying to do that, but we felt it was important that we supplement that and go into the free agent market in a rather big way. And certainly Nolasco and Hughes were two of the guys that we had targeted early on. We thought they were going to be good fits for us culturally. They're both in the prime of their careers in terms of age. We think that they can be a huge part of anchoring a starting staff that we think will be much improved. We also brought back Mike Pelfrey, who is another year removed from Tommy John surgery, and we thought we saw some really good things out of Mike, particularly during the second half of the season. So we have some depth now in our starting pitching, and certainly that's a good thing, because if there's one thing that's going to bring us back to being competitive and contenders, it's certainly going to start on that mound. Each and every day, knowing that we can get deep into a game and have a chance to win. That just hasn't happened consistently enough over the last few seasons.
A big announcement also earlier this winter that Joe Mauer going to move from behind the plate to being the full-time first baseman. I don't think that's a surprise to many people. Maybe the bigger question is who's going to be the catcher then, catching all these pitchers that you've signed?
Well, we went out and signed veteran catcher Kurt Suzuki, who certainly we know will be steady back there, a very durable guy. And but in addition to that, we've got some youngsters. I think fans got a look at Yasmel Pinto last September. He had a tremendous month for us. He's an incredibly competitive guy. He's got a little bit more of a dynamic bat than some of the other candidates. And there's no doubt when he shows up at spring training that he's going to have an opportunity to earn the bulk of the playing time back there, depending on how he comes into camp. Chris Herman and Eric Fryer are two other names that certainly are good catchers, and Fryer in particular gets rave reviews in terms of being a receiver and a guy who can manage a pitching staff. So there's a lot of things that go into that. I can tell you, Mike, we're not concerned about catcher. We think that we'll be just fine behind the plate. We also are pretty optimistic that Joe Mauer can stay healthy at first base. And I think what everybody's excited for, including Joe, is to see how he feels come July and August and September, when historically he's been a little bit beat up at that time of year. We're hopeful that he can stay strong and hopefully deliver bigger offensive numbers. We know he's going to hit for average, but ultimately we're also hoping that he can continue to drive the ball and put a few more balls in the seats. And whether that'll happen or not remains to be seen, but we think this certainly there's some reason to believe that Joe's offensive numbers should be bigger and better than ever.
All right, cool, man. I'll let you go, and I hope to see you up here January 20th for the Twins Winter Caravan at the venue at the Hub. Thanks, Dave.
All right, Mike. Look forward to it. Thank you.
Yep, you bet. Dave St. Peter, president of the Minnesota Twins. Let me